John chapter 12. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to lean on Jesus a little bit more this morning? I'm convinced we don't lean on Jesus enough. We try too hard to do this on our own, and does it work? I didn't think so. A couple weeks ago, we met for service out in Proxka Park. And you know, as we celebrate our third anniversary, some of my fondest memories of the last 3 years are all those picnics we've had at Proxka Park. And all the people that we've met maybe for the first time at those picnics that have become disciples. But it's so great being there. Maybe you remember a couple weeks ago, my daughter had a caterpillar climbing up her arm about that big. I mean, it was one of the honkingest caterpillars I've ever seen. And several people came up to me and they said, "You better be careful. Those things might bite." I think Val was leading the charge. "Protect your daughter." And I went over and, you know, I'm like, should I tell her to put it down? Because Maria loves things. You know, if you're walking in the park or in the elevator and she sees a dog or a baby, Austin prepares to be embarrassed. She's like, "Oh, you're so cute." If you've ever been around her. And she just fell in love with these caterpillars that scared Val to death. And, you know, by the end of the day, she had two of them and she wanted to bring them home. Well, my wife is worse than Val. I remember the first time she ever saw a cicada. She let out a scream that would have scared Freddy Krueger or Jason or any of them to run right back home. And Austin is about as scared, but Teresa will run from it. Austin will kill it. You know, that's kind of the difference there. Well, because Maria was coming off the brokenheartedness of her tadpoles dying, you know, don't you love school when it ends and they send all their science experiments home with the kids and only to die? And so we had bought this bowl, this crystal bowl for the tadpoles, and they'd all died. I think one might have still been living, but we let her bring the caterpillars home, so she got rid of that last one pretty quick and put the caterpillars in this bowl. Well, fast forward, it's time to drive to Syracuse. Maria wants to bring these things in the car. Teresa does not want Maria to bring these things in the car on this long road trip. But she had already said Austin could bring this bowling ball that I didn't want him to bring. Austin and I think Justin, I lasted 1 minute. Amen, it's hot. Okay. Two, maybe. Austin wanted to bring bowling ball. I didn't want to bring bowling ball on the trip. We're not going bowling, but he didn't want to go bowling. They had helped Donnelly's move, and thanks for giving him a bowling ball there. No, it's okay. Maybe it was the fellas's. I don't know who it was. And he didn't want to bowl. He wanted to destroy the bowling ball. And he knew if he went to Syracuse and saw his buddy Levi, who came back with us for a week, that Levi's dad, Dave Ferguson, who some of you know, would help them destroy the bowling ball. Long story short, they took it home last Saturday night and axed it in half, drilled holes in it, and torched it for a while. So, and he brought back the pieces. He wants to give a piece to each of the people that helped destroy it. So it's a lot of spiritual value here. Anyway, if he's taking that, I said, "Tracy, you got to let her take her ball of bugs with us, you know." Okay, so this thing traveled with us, and we stopped seeing any movement in the bowl. So we're wondering if they're dead. Teresa's like, "They're dead." Maria's like, no, they're cocooned up. Teresa's like, "Yeah, right, they're dead." Okay. You were wrong, weren't you? Okay. Last night, we're walking by this bowl, and I see this white thing emerging from this little black cocoon. We caught it at the perfect time. No movement for all those days in the car driving all through those states. And here it comes. And it looked like this larva terminator, you know, coming out of it. It's like all white and gooey and everything's smoke. And then just a few minutes later, the wings were sticking straight back like this out of the back. Just a few minutes later, the wings were a perfect arcing shield behind this thing. We saw it form. And I thought, you know, Joe preached this Transformers sermon last week. You know, we're seeing this thing transform. And then there's one more in there. I thought, where's the other one? It was below. This black little cocoon starts to wiggle. And I remembered Pat Jr. at Christmas going, wiggle, wiggle. But anyway, some of you remember that. Clemmer remembers that one. Anyway, so here this thing emerges. And it went from being this bug, and now this thing that was confined to crawling around, this thing has wings. So Teresa's more scared. She wants it out of the house. Turn to John chapter 12. The title of the sermon today is Life Through Death. Life Through Death. Jesus says here in John 12, 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces what, church? Many seeds. The man who loves his life will what? Will lose it. If you care more about your success here, you're going to lose your life, spiritually and eternally. While the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And the disciples say, Amen. Now, my heart, said Jesus, is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. The title of the sermon is Life Through Death. It's a plan of God that we see here in this plant world. That if a seed doesn't fall and die, it just remains one little seed. But that's not God's plan for that seed. God's plan is for that seed to die and to grow and to become a plant that will then produce many seeds. Life through death. You know, a lot of people want to talk about life, but we don't want to talk about death, do we? Oh, back in the day, before most of our day, what'd they have? Life magazine. Okay? They never dreamed of Death magazine. I'm sure one of our teens has it, but, you know, they write, they make those these days. But we don't want to talk about death. We're afraid of fire. What do we buy? Fire insurance. We're afraid of theft. What do we buy? Theft insurance. We're afraid of death. What do we buy? We don't even like saying the word. A lot of pain comes along with death. And yet, the key to life is death. Those of you that are true disciples, that have been baptized, what did your baptism represent? Your death with Jesus' death. Your burial as Jesus was buried. And therefore, your resurrection as Jesus was resurrected. God's plan of life starts with death. But we don't like to die, do we? And as we refuse to die, because Jesus said, anyone comes after me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Church, you're making me look good in front of the guests today. Amen. The plan to life is death. And whoever wants to be with Jesus must follow Jesus. And here Jesus is predicting his own death. That's why he told this story. Because he was going to be the seed that died. And through this death, he would produce many, many seeds. And we can't stop the germination. Are you with me, guys? God's plan for us is that we continue to die. And therefore, we continue to live. You know, as that caterpillar has to go away and then struggle to get out of that little coffin we call a cocoon, and it becomes this creature that now can fly, a butterfly. I remember reading a story years ago, and I don't know if it's true or made up or whatever, but someone saw a butterfly trying to escape from a cocoon, and they thought, oh man, that little guy's having so much trouble, let me help it. And so they cracked the cocoon so the thing could get out. Guess what happened? It died. Because God made it in such a way that through the struggle is what gives it its strength and helps it develop, which I saw before my eyes last night, so that it can have the strength to survive once it comes out. But we don't like the struggle, do we? We like the harvest of righteousness and peace, not the hardship that hurts so bad at the time. I want to convince you today, the way to life is death. And it makes me think of the planting of this church 3 years ago. Because a lot of people had to die to bring the life that you see today here. I remember telling the church in Syracuse about the plans that God had put in our heart to move. Now, there's another little principle where you got to ask yourself, am I man-focused or am I God-focused? And depending on that, it's going to change the way you are. Because if I'd have been man-focused when we decided to come here, I probably wouldn't have come. And I doubt the 15 others would have come if I didn't die to my worry about what people think. Man-focused, there was a lot of people didn't want us to come. A lot of people in Syracuse did not want us to come. Did not want us to bring the people that we believe God was calling to come. Some of them didn't want to come. But later repented and died and came. Amen. Some people here didn't want us to come. Go figure. And yet we came. So many people died to themselves. You heard the stories earlier. Gave up Pat Bouye Sr. 1 year from retirement with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Gave up over $250,000. People there told him he was nuts. Stay one more year, Pat. Go later. He said no. God is calling me now. If you're man-focused, you stay another year. If you're God-focused and you go, hey, this is not a call of man, it's a call of God. But if you don't want to do it, you go, oh, it's just man, I won't do it. you little weasel. You know what I'm saying? We like to weasel on out of it. But when it's God, we're faced with a decision. Roger and Kemma, leaving that house almost paid. And if you know Kemma, look in the dictionary under frugality. There she is. To know that she would go back and do it. Oh, baby. Oh, man. And it's funny how God does that. God calls us to die to the thing we don't want to do. The other thing I'm convinced of is a lot of good-hearted disciples, we've died to ourselves. We're ready to die for Jesus. We just want to decide how we're going to die. We're going to figure out how we want to die. I'll never forget a conversation I had with a couple other ministers once after a staff meeting in New York City. And we weren't talking about how we're going to die. We're talking about how we're going to be buried after we die. What kind of funeral we wanted to have. And one minister said, well, I want my ashes to be sprinkled over all the countries I've planted churches in. Because he had planted a church in Brazil and in Africa. And now he was in New York. I said, well, bro, the funds are pretty tight. So maybe what we should do is just put you in an envelope and mail you to the, slit it and mail you to the different places. Maybe they'll fall out, you know. Guaranteed to get you there overnight. Amen. The guy that baptized me said, I want a Viking funeral. And I do too. I kind of said, that's what I want. Just put me on a raft, push me out off Navy Pier, and somebody shoot a flaming arrow into me. That'd be the way to go. And then when people come to look, y'all could all share your faith with them. That would be awesome. We don't like to talk about death, do we? I mean, you think this is morbid. We don't like to talk about dying to ourselves. Because that's where it strikes home. But I'm trying to tell you today, where you're most scared, where you're most afraid to die, is where the most life can come if you do. Because life comes through death. And to the ability we're willing to die, that is to the extreme that seeds of life will flow. I am convinced of it. And so, when we get to see God on the last day, and we say, God, look what happened with my life. You know, look what the decisions and look what you did. And God go, look what I could have done with your life if you'd surrender. The thing about death is, you ever met anyone that died 98%? When it was all over. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Princess Bride, he's mostly dead. Exactly. As disciples, are we mostly dead? Or are we all dead? If you hold back, you will not experience the life and the fruit. Mostly dead won't do it. Did Jesus say, seek me with mostly of your heart? You know, I always get a kick out of Matthew 6:33. We studied it with James the other night. And it doesn't say, but seek third the kingdom. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Seek second the kingdom. What does it say? Seek first the kingdom. You've got to die 100%. A lot of people are bitter with Christianity. You know why? They died mostly, and they were very disappointed with the lack of fruit. Yep, right. It didn't work. It didn't work because you didn't do it all the way. Yep. It's like, you know what? I'm so upset with my new coffee maker. I plugged it in, I poured the water in, I put the coffee in, and no coffee came. Because you didn't push the on switch. Your life will start when you die. 100%. When you're called to do something great, like move to another place. Give it all up and plant a church. You see it. And let me tell you something. It wasn't easy to come. I remember the pain in people's eyes that I love dearly. I remember watching them struggle in the cocoon and wanting to break it open so they could get out easy. But God wouldn't allow me to do that. Because this was their need to see where their faith lied. To see if we really are man-focused or God-focused. When we're God-focused, what do we say? What is God trying to teach me through these trials? When we're man-focused, what do we say? How dare them say that to me? How dare her? Why did she do that? When we're God-focused, we say, not sure why she did that, but what matters is how I'm going to respond. It's life through death. Not life through wanting them to die. You with me, guys? So, I wish you could have all been in a teacher service earlier today. Because we just opened up and shared memories of the last 3 years. 3 years being here. And I want to just share a few of them with you. Denise Chepeta shared. She said, I remember the retreat at the Travel Lodge. You know, we wanted to do the retreat downtown so that everybody coming could see the city. You know, I'm sure Jay would have preferred to be on a farm somewhere way out west, but not the point of planting a Chicago church, amen. And we didn't have a lot of money, just like now, amen. And so we got the Travel Lodge, Joe Chepeta found it, got cheap rates, and there was a basement room that was like a million times hotter than this today. No windows, and the air didn't do very much except make a loud sound when you turned it on. And yeah, but while we were down in there, and God was moving powerfully, and the Chepetas were actually late, and Denise said, you know, if you know Joe, he never likes to be late. I can relate, amen. But she said God planned it, because when we came down the stairs, those creepy little stairs, we heard the singing. And it just melted Denise's heart. Because since they'd stepped out on conviction, the meeting in their home, they hadn't heard the singing. And then she remembered their basement being full of disciples. Because we had church there in their basement at first. And you could hear the singing three houses down. You know, I remember the Shellbracks. I remember moving, going to help them move. I think it was your business because it was in December. And I remember the snowball fight that broke out. And was it, Tracy, was it your phone we lost and then found in the snow? I remember that. That was a bonding time right there. I remember when the first of the remnant started coming on out. Juan Mendoza. Joe Chepeta brought him over to the Duncan YMCA where we began. We met in this little room in the Duncan YMCA and Juan Mendoza came on out. And then of course I remember the people that were baptized there. I remember gathering around the baptistry and watching Dre get baptized. I remember gathering around the baptistry right outside and watching Henry get baptized. I remember as God brought more remnant, and by remnant I mean disciples who were in churches that had given up the call to die in order to live. And Bob McMurray came on out. And Bob shared this morning about the first day he came to church here. And he said, this is home. And that resonates because first time I ever went to church in New York City in 1990, those were the words in my head. This is home. I see people that love God right here. Bob said the other thing that blew him away was the way the church embraced his children. He hadn't seen it in so long. And he said, what's here in this campus ministry blew him away. Campus guys, gals, you need to know that. Folks that have teen kids, preteen kids, they see you as heroes and their hope. Young people that are cool, unlike fuddy-duddy mom and dad, that love God. I've been trying, Jay, to get through to you for 3 years. Just keep praying for Jay. Amen. Barb. I remember meeting Barb because Jay had shared with Barb, and yet Barb was very, should we say, apprehensive. And yet, she knew Bob and she knew Dave Cadell, who was our first restoration in the church here. And we had a party for Dave coming home from, or going to, on leave from his time in Germany, the Navy. And I knew Barb might come, and everybody's like, we gotta love Barb when she comes, and because, oh boy, she's apprehensive. And so, we're all standing there, and I hear, and I was by the door. Oh, anybody? Oh, I'll get it. And it was Barb. And she was like, hello. But she warmed up. And she said she remembered coming to church the first time and bringing one of her sons, who isn't a disciple but grew up in the church. And he says, Mom, that's how church used to be. And Barb said what got her, in addition to the things we've shared, was the preaching. Preaching of the truth with a challenge, but inspiring. She said it had been so long since she heard it. And that just makes me sad. It can't be that way. Come on. Pete Durgan. He came from way up north. Continues to come. He's teaching the kids this morning. Pete said, as soon as the elevator doors opened, he felt the presence of God. See, I'm saying all this because I think you guys can forget. And anniversaries are a time to remember. Because when you're sitting around the love for week after week, you start to take it for granted. And forget what it's like when it's gone. The impact on these folks, when we were much smaller, changed their lives. And then, you know, Pete said, when he met Kip, because Kip came in, and I introduced him, and he said, all I'd ever heard from other people about Kip was the acts of the sinful nature. But all I felt when I met him was the fruits of the Spirit. He said, people just warned me, and when I met him, I felt an unbelievable compassion and mercy. That's Pete Durgan's words earlier this morning. And then he said what Bob said. What changed their lives is when both of them sat down and did the discipleship study. Dum-da-da. Yeah. And we go, well, yeah, we did that when we came around. They both said, how far I've drifted. Because discipleship is the call to die so that you can live. And the call to welcome other people in your life to teach you to die so that you can live. See, discipleship is God's plan to change your soul. Because if no one came in your life and called you, you wouldn't know. So, then, one of the great memories is the Joliet infusion. Kip had come for like the first year anniversary or something, and we met all these folks. The Dawson family. That alone doubled the church. You know? The Dawsons alone. And Ken and Val. And Leslie just shared how they felt that first day. And they went back the next week where they were going to church, and Theo was leading singing out there. But she said Theo was leading like it was a funeral or something. And Val was on the singing too. And Leslie went up and said, you guys look like you're in a funeral. What's wrong? And they both said, we're not meant to be here. God wants us to be right over there. You got to remember these things. And then, of course, Leslie, as any mom, said, I remember two more things. June 10th and June 24th, 2007. See, those were the days her children were baptized. You remember gathering right over here when Theo Jr. got baptized? See, Theo Sr. said this morning, you remember that baptism? That's when all the men cried. And Anthony Fellow said, you cried. We're still praying for Anthony too. But he did finally get the faith to move downtown, and they're four blocks from us now. So, amen. Come on, bro. We're going to preach downtown. Amen. And then, Tia's baptism. This was monumental for me. Because she was so humble, she took off those yellow high heels to get baptized. I'll never forget the first time I saw her without those high heels. I'm like, who are you? I didn't meet you yet. Whoa! It took humility, didn't it? Yeah, it did. You know, she said, I don't like being short. Okay. Amen. Nick Donnelly shared one of his favorite memories was Joel Klemmer's baptism. 5 a.m, Lake Michigan. September, October? November. There's some struggle for you. And just look around. God has done so much. But every one of these miracles of life started with death. And the decision to follow Jesus with all our heart. If we don't die, we remain a single seed. Now, I want to share about something now, and it even takes death for me to share it. Because it's still a little awkward for this fella, for me to share this. But I appreciate him allowing me to share it. You know, Will's a great brother. And he's just baptized earlier this year, in January. Now, Will could just not die and remain a single seed. But, as you've heard the story a few times, amen, not only his best friend get baptized, and Cornell's kind of running the show here with ushers and security today, so we really appreciate Cornell stepping up back there, amen. And not only has his sister got baptized, and her good friend got baptized, but now, in Honolulu, Hawaii, just this past week, Will's ex-wife got baptized. Is that incredible? You know, from what I understand, they're friends and remain friends. You know, divorce can do some wicked things to a family. And there's a lot of intense emotions when something that's one becomes two. Because God never intended that. And yet, that happened a while ago. Way before he became a Christian. And he had the love and compassion to reach out to her. And offer her the true gospel. And Kyle and Joan and our sister in Honolulu got in there. And now she is our sister in Christ. Isn't that amazing? But it starts with being willing to die. Let's go to Luke 9. Another memory. For our guest, I don't have time to... I'd have to get him to get up and sing it for you, but we won't do that. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said to who? He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must what? And take up what? When? Okay. And follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will what? But whoever loves his life for me will what? If you want to save your life, And if you want to save many lives, the call of the community today is to die. I want to promise you something. It won't be easy. And it won't be easy because it's going to come again and again and again. For those who have been disciples a while, it's not over. It's a continual decision to die to ourselves and to consider others better. Let's close in Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Then you'll be in Philippians chapter 2. I believe one of the things we've got to die to is our pride. Pride just kills us. You know what the Proverbs say? Pride only breeds quarrels. It doesn't do anything else. It only breeds quarrels. And it'll stop you from dying. It'll stop you from listening to the people God's put in your life to call you to die. Because Satan just gets in your ear. This isn't right. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel right. And it doesn't. But it is God's plan. Chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, do we, church? Yes. Man, it's our only source of encouragement. If any comfort from His love, do we? Yes. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Is it in there, guys?
Yes.
Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself what? 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 That's a hard one, isn't it? Jesus made himself nothing. See, we're taught by life to make ourselves something. You gotta, come on, Junior, you gotta make something of yourself. And yet, we're not taught the way to do that is to die. The way to do that is to put others above yourself. Not to trample others on the way to the top. Taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness. You know, for Jesus to be made in human likeness, I think would kind of be like Teresa being made in the likeness of that caterpillar. Right? I mean, how do you think it is for God Almighty to come and be confined in this body? What do you think that's like? For the Creator of the universe to be confined in this frail shell. I'd be kind of be like us being squirming in the cocoon. Exactly. Exactly. But look what Jesus was willing to do. Because death is what brought life. Being found in appearance as a man, here it is, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that's hell. Amen? And every tongue confess, what? Jesus is Lord. to the glory of God, the Father. Every time we gather around that baptistry, and guys, we need to gather around it very, very soon. I know there's a number of folks studying the Bible right now, and the water isn't far away. Except, you got to die first. Then you can be buried. And then you can raise. And God will raise you up to be with Jesus. If we look back in the last 3 years, I know you have your fun memories in your head. Your favorite memories in your head. One of my most amazing memories, and I couldn't say this 5 weeks ago, is the recent struggle I had that I've shared and confessed with the church. Just seeing my sin in ways I hadn't seen it in a while. It has yielded some of the most amazing fruit in my life. Teresa and my marriage, I believe, is better than ever. I have more hope for our marriage. It only happened because when my sin was exposed, I confessed it once it was exposed to everybody I could. I got input from everybody I could. And I did what they told me. That's a key point right there. And because of that, Teresa has started to go after sin in her life in ways that I haven't seen in a while. And be able to see things and say things, and we're able to laugh about it. Because we see God changing us. That's death bringing life. I want to encourage you today as we take communion. What is it you think you just can't die to? What is it you think you just can't change? I remember studying the Bible with a fellow in New York City years ago. And I got converted in a performing arts ministry in New York. Okay? Dancers, singers, actors that had all made the decision to make Jesus Lord. And each career kind of has its own struggles to die to. Well, in the world of entertainment, there's a lot of homosexuality. And a lot of the guys I studied with in Manhattan were from a homosexual past. And bottom line, the Bible teaches any sex before marriage is sin and wrong. We are not meant to be joined in that way till we are joined for life in the vows of marriage. And yet, the Bible does teach that this is wrong and sin. And I remember studying with a young man who was struggling with giving this sin up. Just like you'd struggle with giving your sin up. You all have it. Whatever it is. The night we were supposed to get together and study what we call light and darkness, we didn't get to study it. Because he found out that day he had AIDS. And so instead we got on our knees and prayed and cried together over the news he had just gotten. And he now was understanding the very thing he wasn't willing to die to become a Christian, was now the very thing that was killing him physically. Long story short, he became a disciple. He was baptized. We reached out to, studied, baptized several others on Broadway. And he got up in front of the church during a communion one day and shared that contracting AIDS was one of the biggest gifts in his life. Think about that. Because it's what woke him up and showed him what his sin of choice was doing to him. The thing he wasn't willing to die to, God had to wake him up so that he would die to it. As we take the communion, God wants you to live. God's words are repent and live. And so, I want to call you to pray during the communion for great courage. To die to whatever it is. Grab somebody as soon as church is over. Confess it. Get it out. And get a plan to die to it. Not to work on it, but to die to it. And I promise you, God will help you live. And after we pray and pass the bread, Hillary and Maria and Nikki are going to perform the song for us that we all loved. You were there. Listen to the words. And let it remind you during the communion. Not only was God there, but God will be with you as you fight to grow in your lives, to die, and to become many seeds. I love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, and as we take the fruit of the vine and the bread that represents your body and your blood, I pray that we'll remember the cross. It is the reason we're here. It is what you've called us to take up every day as disciples. God, when you allowed your Son to die on the cross, Satan thought he had had his greatest victory. And yet the cross, Jesus' death, turned out to be his greatest defeat. And Father, so much life has flowed with the blood from the cross. Father, we know now that life is in the blood. And God, as we've seen so many baptized with Jesus, we see their lives change. We just want to thank you today. And we want to pray for all those that will be baptized with Christ. God, help us to truly recommit ourselves to dying with you so that we can live with you. We love you with all our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name.